back in. Doors are good. Thank you all for being here. Obviously, a bit of a tough day, not exactly how we wanted Tony's tenure to end. The organization obviously owes him a debt of gratitude for the time he spent trying to advance us to our own goals over the last couple of years. Obviously, this point for all of us, that this is how it's ended. I think it's important, I don't know who asked about it, I think it might have been Vinny. I think it's really important, especially given some of the tenor and expectations about how his tenure was going to go that were presented up front at the start, at the time of his hiring. So everybody in this room knows, he had a private meeting with all the players at 3:45 before he came down here today. Then we wandered down here to start his press conference, and the players independently all showed up here to line the back each room to show support for him. I think that was a surprise to Tony as well as everyone else in the club, and just goes to speak to the level of admiration that his guys had for him. It's probably the ultimate compliment that the players can show to him. But moving on to the start of a managerial search, which will officially begin in earnest here in the coming days. We've already met a few times to discuss some of the names of potential candidates on the list. While we don't intend to provide any specific updates or to say if this person is in or out or to respond to any of your late night texts, James, asking if so-and-so is a candidate or not, we are going to provide general parameters. I think ideally, in the end, the right candidate is someone who has recent experience in the dugout with an organization that has competitive championships. Ideally, it's someone who is an excellent communicator, is someone who understands the way the game has grown and evolved in the last decade or so, but at the same time, obviously, respect for old school sensibilities is going to be important as well. One thing that perhaps breaks from the mold of at least the last few hires, having a history with the White Sox, having some sort of connection to White Sox DNA is by no means a requirement. I will say, and somebody's getting a phone call from a healthcare provider, the health person, I will say, the one exception to that is that Miguel Cairo, based on how he has performed and his acting manager, absolutely is deserving of an interview and will receive one. However, outside of Miguel, having that history with the White Sox is not necessarily a characteristic that we're looking for at this time. Obviously, I'll answer questions the best we can here once I throw it open, but there's a couple other points that I want to get to. Tony hit on the importance of the fan reaction this year and how that, what that meant to him. And I want to echo those comments in terms of what it meant to us. Like the fans, felt the level of disappointment with the performance this year. It's been described many times as depressing, disgust, frustration, shock, and I think any of those adjectives are appropriate. And we realize that we have to, despite our expectations, despite what we accomplished over the last couple of years, despite how the world viewed this team entering the 2021 season, we need to earn that respect back from the fans and earn their support over the coming months and into next season. Tony talked about a little bit taking these opportunities for granted, realizing that you have a good team on paper and that all the pundits and the internal projections and external projections have you as a favorite, and that's something that the traffic simply can't fall into. It's one that we won't fall into again. Lastly, I know, obviously, if we're getting towards the end of this season, it's the natural time of year that we talk about sort of what went right, what went wrong, and what we need to improve upon. With 3 days left in the season, and everyone down there doing the best they can to try to win these last three, I don't want to create too big of a distraction by talking about any specific players. I will say, in general, we know that our offense got away from the offense that we had the last couple of years, which caused some difficulties for us. Obviously, defensively, we weren't quite the club that we are capable of being or that we want to be going forward. Similar to other clubs, we've had issues with availability and health. Unlike our club in 21, as well as some other clubs this year, we were able to overcome that with our depth this year in 22. So certainly, those are all going to be areas that we look at in the coming weeks and areas that we intend to get back for better by opening day of 22. So I think that covers all the general themes, and then we'll throw open questions. Thank you, as long as you guys want.
Questions, please raise your hand and start with Daryl on the left.
You mentioned that there's requirements that you're looking for a dugout experience, meaning managerial dugout experience or
I think some. Yeah, Jerry Kenny and I sat down for a couple hours earlier today to talk through sort of different attributes. And I think we all realized that in the end, the candidate that probably has all of them, all 12 or 15 or how many resist, doesn't exist. Might not be available. So when I express these characteristics, they're really more preferences. I think having managerial experience is a positive. That said, you can also get good experience being a bench coach or adjacent to a manager. Having experience managing in the minors as well can be beneficial. Ultimately, we want someone who played a key role in a winning organization. It was an important part of their on-field decision.
John?
Rick, when it comes to making this decision and kind of going through the finale of it, how does that work with you, Jerry, and Kenny? I mean, with this search? We haven't seen a real search in a long time. Who's making the decisions, whose word, and whose thoughts count the most in this situation?
Similar to probably just about every major decision that I've been around for the last 20-some-odd years, the elements of a collaborative process, and we ideally, Kenny, Jerry, and I come up with a consensus. I'll be leading the process. I'll be the one having these initial conversations here, but over the course of the coming months, or coming weeks, I should say, over the course of the coming weeks, there'll be a number of people for the organization to be part of these conversations. Obviously, Jerry, Kenny, Chris Getz, Jeremy Baker, we may have some form of players involved as well. So it's really a matter of getting the best opinion of someone and in the end making a recommendation and hopefully all be on the same page.
Is there any tiebreaker type of scenario?
Yeah, it's height.
What? No,
it's not height. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Effectively, for the most part, they only come to a consensus. Their major decisions are on the line, and that's the way this will ultimately play out.
Sully?
Well, I've got to ask, because I think Ozzy said he knows his team better than anyone. Is he a candidate?
Again, I'm not going to get into specifics of candidates. I sort of laid out the general parameters and go from there.
Okay, and just the team in general, no matter who the manager is, the team in general, do you think there's some major changes necessary, or is it
It's appropriate to ask these questions this time of year. You're coming towards the end of the season and we're all getting going on our off-season plans. It's also probably the worst time to ask these questions because everyone is in a frustrated, disappointed mood right now with the way things have played out. The short answer is, obviously, there's areas we need to improve. The longer answer is, I don't think we should lose sight of the fact of where this team was 1 and 2 years ago, and even 6 months ago. You know, 2 years ago, we were after the first berth into the playoffs. We were a young, dynamic, exciting team that played with an edge and that people knew was coming. Last year, despite the injuries, we managed to win 90-plus games and get our way clear of the division by 12, 13 games. 6 months ago, just about every objective measurement and much less the subjective predictions, had us as running away with this position. Obviously, what happened over the past 6 months is the most relevant and recent information, which exposed some areas that we simply need to get better. But I don't want to lose sight of the talent that is in that room. Obviously, being without certain players for an extended period of time this year hurts. It would be easy to stand up here and blame just the injuries and say we're going to be healthier and smarter and luckier next year, which could be a path to success. But I think by nature, each of us, you know, involved in the law, in ownership, in the dugout, and the coaching staff, want to somehow find ways to improve this thing, not just by projecting better health and better
health. Any? Rick, given those injuries, not just this year, but over the past couple of years, knocking off so much playing time from a lot of the young core guys, how difficult is it to evaluate those players moving forward? I'm sure you have trust in their talent, but they haven't really been able to put up a full season in some cases and show you what you got.
Yeah, look, it certainly creates a challenge. You know, Herb Steiner sitting in the back, so I have to give him a smile and think back to the days we didn't ask quite as many questions like that. I think it might even been Hurry who first told me that, you know, one of the greatest abilities is availability. And there certainly are players who have dealt with some freakish things along the way. You don't project a guy like Eloy to tear his shoulder jumping over a wall on a home run ball. That's not something that's chronic. That's something you're going to put on him and say this is going to be a problem for you. So I think you have to almost go player by player, injury by injury, and decide what are we dealing with. Is this something that potentially chronic may influence their career going forward? And what can we do internally to, you know, prevent some of these things? You know, there's ways we can improve. Tony put a lot on himself in terms of the underachievement of this team. I think if you talk to the players themselves, or some of you have, they would put a lot of that on themselves and say, we've underachieved, and I know the front office and support staff all feel like we've underachieved. We all need to be better than this. There's not just one magic bullet. There's ways for us to improve that we need to seriously address here over the coming weeks.
Bruce?
All right, would a person like Craig Council with a great experience in the organization, before he took over as manager, would that type of person interest you from your own or other organizations as well as a possible candidate?
You're not asking about Council. You're asking about
a person that might have the same experience but no managerial experience.
Gotcha. Again, going to keep an open mind about backgrounds and candidates, but I think the ideal person to fit what we're looking for, given where this team is, does have recent experience in some role in a contributing to a team that's having success.
Part two of that is, Tony said that he was culpable for the team's bad record to a certain extent. What in the front office have you guys talked about your responsibility, what you guys have learned, what you need to do better going forward?
I mean, we've spent a lot of time having those conversations, including part of what Gary and I discussed with PR, where we potentially made missteps and working we do that. I don't think it's something that we're going to get too deep into discussing publicly in terms of internal operations about how we can improve, but know that there is no complacency involved. That we know, like Tony put it on himself, as I mentioned, the players put it on themselves, that we put it equally, not more so, on ourselves. But there is no one associated with this organization, at least on the baseball side, including the guys in uniform, scouts, player development, who doesn't find this past year unacceptable and extraordinarily frustrating. A lot of hours, time, effort, support from fans, dollars were poured in trying to create a successful expanded window. for this team to get that. And even though things looked like we were going to continue that 6 months ago, it didn't happen. And the squandering of this year is something that I know I individually am going to carry with me for a while. And I think anyone else from our group in the baseball side or in uniform echo those sentiments for themselves.
Jesse?
Two questions. Just want to be clear. Do you prefer someone outside the White Sox family besides Miguel Cairo, or it's just not a prerequisite?
I think we're going to use this opportunity to get different perspectives. New way of looking at things, really different from those that have been, you know, a little more insular to the organization. Again, we're sitting here on day zero or day one, let's say, of this search, so you have sort of aspirational goals for what you are looking for. Even a handful of names that might fit sort of that mold, at least on paper. Once we get deeper into the process, maybe that changes a little bit. But as we sit here today, we're eager to use this opportunity to get some outside perspective on this club and those who do.
And then the second question, you listen to a lot of fans, they use the phrase, you know, this baseball player, in the sense like White Sox don't have enough baseball players, kind of highlighted by Elvis coming over here, what he played, maybe watching the Guardians, how they played, the motor running high. Do you buy into that, that there wasn't enough of that this year?
There wasn't enough of a lot of things this year. Again, a year ago with more or less a similar roster, we had enough. Speaking about Elvis specifically, he's been fantastic. And he brought that sort of baseball player edge or grind or fundamentally soundness that has stood out, because it has been missing over the course of this season. Doesn't mean that a healthy Tim Anderson or Lynn Louie's out there for a full season, healthy and without restriction, that he can't be that type of guy himself. But it was an attribute that was missing at times this year. We've seen it from these guys in the past, but I think it's fair, whatever criticism you're alluding to, I think it's a fair one that it was passed in times this year. Scott?
Hey Rick, I know you said you don't want to talk about individual players, but I'm going to go for it anyways. We're talking to Jose Abreu tomorrow, and obviously he's been a staple and a fit for this organization for the last decade. I mean, how do you kind of analyze what he means to the team, and then how you look at what he can, how he fits in the roster construction going forward?
Look, he's been exemplary in terms of what you want a White Sox player to be for 10 years now, not 9 years in a White Sox uniform. No matter what the future holds for him here or elsewhere, I don't think you're ever going to hear anyone with this organization say a bad word about Jose. Nothing but admiration and respect for professionalism and what he's carried himself both on the field and how it fits going forward, that remains to be seen come this offseason. Obviously, there's only so many different ways that you can fit various players on the roster, and Jose returning would have a ripple effect on others, but we'll just have to wait to see how things unfold and make the decisions accordingly. Again, going back to the first part of your statement, yeah, I really don't want to talk about what if you want to let them finish the season strong, and there'll be plenty of time in the offseason for further conversation.
James?
Rick, you know, a lot of what you talked about emphasizing the hiring process of the manager you referred to last time, before it kind of got locked in on Tony as, you know, candidate. How do you feel like this, or are you confident this is going to be a much different process than the last time around?
Yeah, I think
this
will be a good process.
And at this point, do you have any decision on, you know, the rest of Tony's staff or assistant coaches as far as next year?
With regard to the coaches, it's going to be similar to how it's been handled in the past with a managerial change, and that is, we'll ultimately make decisions on the coaches with the new manager. We certainly have some talented coaches on our staff, and when the time comes to discuss staffing with the new manager and get his input at that time, you know, we'll obviously have opinions on how guys fit. Expect the new hire to have his own opinion as well, and we'll desire for what they're looking for in coaching staff. And that's going to be weighted accordingly.
Mark Gonzalez?
He just asked, yeah.
Coach Mayfield?
Rick, despite the injuries this year, it seemed like at times the team just didn't have that desire, that burning desire to win. So is the off-season plan to add more talent or to add more players that fit the right chemistry with that winning mentality?
Yeah, look, picking up desire from outside is meaning judging someone's desire from outside, whether it be on TV or the press box. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. And obviously I'm biased because I get to see how much preparation goes into these games. I get to see guys who are playing on one leg, fighting through injury. And if we felt that there was an individual who lacked the desire to make the commitment to be a championship caliber player, they wouldn't be here. So that one, I take a little exception with that. I agree that when the team's not playing well, especially when your offense isn't working well, you're making some defensive gaps, it's easy to look like there's a lack of desire. But I don't think that was fundamentally the issue. I think we need to recapture where we were from an offensive standpoint and make some adjustments in terms of our defensive setup. And that, you know, probability, like any offseason, will entail talent from outside the organization being mixed into what we have.
And yeah. If I text you in the middle of the night, as long as I'm not James, will I get a reply?
Yeah, you'll get a reply.
Okay.
Chris, do you have a question?
Yeah. Rick, kind of dovetailing off coaches and Jesse's question as well about baseball players.
Yeah.
What do you view as you construct for 2023, what do you view as lacking? What do you need more of out of the roster?
Again, I think a lot of the issues were with the offense initially. Not having Lance for a couple months, you know, obviously didn't help the rotation. We had to fill some innings in ways that didn't measure up ultimately. So I think I could sit here, Chris, and do this throughout the season and in the spring. There's always ways to get that. There's always individual spots where you can improve it. Fundamentally, as I alluded to, we lost our offensive approach. We need to sort of balance out that offense a little bit better. You can say it was, you know, baseball players or guys who grind at bats more. I think a portion of it is getting some of these guys back to the approaches that they had before. You know, in the last couple of years where we had a pretty decent offense running from these guys, as well as improvements we need to make defensively and running the basics. So there's areas to improve. There's not going to be player X that is targeted who was brought in and solves it all individually. There's going to have to be some improvement that comes internally. And the good news is that most of these players have shown that ability in the past.
Hey, Rick, why did all that stuff happen in the offense? Is that the players receiving a different message than they received in the past? Is it them taking it upon themselves to do something differently when they've done in the past?
I think if there was an easy answer, obviously we would have gotten on it April 15th and made the corrections. I think the message was the same, if not very similar, to what was delivered in the past. And again, you know, Frankie was hitting coach when we had three silver sluggers in 2020, fourth in the league in weighted runs created last year. Like, there's been success with this group, including these coaches. Why things deviated is something that we're going to have to spend a little bit more time talking through individually with players, with the coaches, and try and get as objective as a read as we can about why we fell short. Again, we've seen the talent perform at early levels. It's a matter of getting that.
John Raper.
Glad you're calling.
Rick, obviously this situation didn't come to, it didn't happen because of Tony's health issues, but as you're watching this team struggle during the season when Tony's the manager, did you think we're going to have to make a managerial change for next season to change things up?
Yes. Hypothetically. Yeah. The thing played out the way it played out. None of us are happy with this being the end result. The intent was to you know, Tony was brought in with the absolute best intentions and pure motivation to get us to that last level of winning a championship, to finish off his rebuild with championships. We fell short. And it's disappointing across the board. And ending this way is unfortunate because, you know, you never want to see someone's health interfere with their career or aspirational goals. But that's the way it played out.
Scott Merkin.
Rick, you've talked a couple of times now about past success, about 2020, 2021 for the team and the players. So you're looking more at kind of the back of the baseball card than maybe some underperformance this year from certain guys that can bounce back in 2023?
That's part of it, but also it's more a point, Scott, about not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. It was a disappointing year. We all need to get better in multiple facets. There needs to be operational and process, obviously manager, staff changes, and personnel changes. We know that. My only point is, and it's easy at the end of a disappointing season to say you got to burn it to the ground. I think that's not where we're at as an organization. There's a good amount of talent there. There's talent that has performed at an elite level. We got to figure out a way to get them back to that level and augment accordingly.
Jesse. As you kind of said, I mean, seasons like this can cost people jobs at this level. Two teams in your division changed the head of baseball ops. Are you grateful that ownership has shown faith in your front office through a season like this? Continues to?
Yeah, I mean, and it's a two-way street. I mean, I'm not looking to stand up here with a blindfold and a cigarette just for fun. We have to believe that we're capable of getting ourselves to the level we need and be able to critically look at the things that we didn't do well this past year and find a way to get better and feel, have faith in ourselves. There's only 30 of these jobs, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to do this in my hometown. That's whether we won this division by 10 games or lost it by 10 games, I'm ridiculously blessed to be able to have this opportunity. And again, winning or losing, I don't take that for granted. But frankly, even though I try to stay off Twitter, I believe there's probably no one who's harder on me than I am. And when I look at a year like this, that requires me to look at myself too and look at the way we're doing things and try to figure out, are we the right stewards to get this? Because White Sox fans, look, they've been extremely supportive throughout the start of this rebuild. Tony alluded to Game 3 last year and how wonderful the support was, and you want to reward that. They deserve it. And if they ever got to the point where I felt I wasn't the right person in my role, I'd step aside. And I'm lucky enough to, again, like you say, have the support. Shows you this game. Look, 2 years ago, our baseball operations department was getting nods for executive. A year ago, we won the division by whatever, 10, 11, 12 games. This year, we were being picked to contend for the World Series, and now, 6 months later, being asked whether we should be in our jobs. That's just part of the fun of pro sports. And a fair question given pro sports and given the accountability we all want to have. But know that we ask those questions of ourselves probably more than anybody else.
Rick, do you believe there's too many guys on the roster that play the same position or the same type of player and has maybe led to some of your problems by some of those guys playing out of position?
No, it's a fair question. Look, Gavin Sheets and Andrew Vaughn deserve a ton of credit for playing new positions at the big league level on the squad. Gavin has dramatically improved. He's become a decent major league outfielder, despite the fact that he's a first baseman at heart. Andrew, we talked last year about how much he put on his plate, given his development path and the pandemic, and the position change. Certainly, finding them roles to their natural skill set is one way of potentially getting this team better and more advanced in some of the areas I mentioned.
and I'll follow up and say, you've always said, you know, that you kind of approach things by really not taking any ideas off the table in terms of, you know, changing the roster in any way. Does that include this year maybe having to make some tough decisions or just think about maybe breaking up this young core that you've built over the last few years?
Yeah, you have to be open to that. You absolutely have to be open to that. Because there are, you know, look, we're not just going to be able to throw money at the problem. You might have to get creative, and the trade market may be the more fruitful path for us to go as opposed to free agency over the coming months. And frankly, going back to Jesse's question, like, you want to make sure that you're comfortable enough to make those tough decisions about players that you may have signed or developed or traded for, and you don't get sort of caught in some sort of bias in favor of, you know, what we thought we put together. But I am confident that we'll be able to evaluate any of the opportunities that come along over the next few months objectively, and with the goal of getting us right back in contention for 23, even if that means cutting into guys that we previously thought were going to be, you know, with us for an extended period of time. Yeah, yes, we'll be open to it.
James?
I think you alluded to it this season about maybe the effect of lockout, but why do you think this team can or will be healthier next year, and why the Trent staff is situated to ensure that?
We are still in the process of evaluating everything we do from a pre-nap standpoint, pre-injury prevention standpoint. And I do suspect we're going to have some changes over the course of the coming months, or additions in the coming months. I don't think, you know, the weird off-season with a new strength and conditioning staff in place was a bit of a challenge this past year. Being able to send guys home with plans, it's a good plan now. Be able to monitor and follow up with it should help us. Doesn't mean there's not other areas that we can improve upon and that we're looking at. We'll address more directly in the coming months. I do think that the odd offseason and short spring created a lot of problems for us. At the same time, they created problems for all 30 folks, and we did not respond to the challenges as well as some others did. And that's part of the reason.
Sense of humans has been adding to the department as well.
Bruce? Rick, you guys tried to address left-handed hitting, went out and spent the most money in team history on a guy that's predominantly a left-handed hitter. Philosophically, do you still feel generally that if you have great hitters, it doesn't really matter what side they hit from, or does this have to be readdressed in the offseason?
It's another area that is fair to ask questions. I mean, again, we have always erred on the side of get great hitters, and usually your great hitters can hit lefties and righties. There's a fair question about do we need more balance, not just from left, right, but also from the type of hitters and what their strengths and weaknesses are, so it's a little more complementary of an offensive attack. Not even very fair.
Time for a few more. We're going to start player availability in the dugout at 5:15. Anyone else? So,
it's probably a question for Jerry, but since he's not here, I'm talking. How did he take this this whole thing? He was close to Tony, and you know, Sox fan, the whole season.
I think. I mean, I'm talking out of school. Jerry, Kenny, and I all talked about a couple hours ago about this being the most disappointing season of each of our careers. Jerry made reference to 84, going from 99 wins to 75 or something that year, being shocking. Obviously, we've had other years where we haven't quite met expectations. And we might be a little too close to the forest to see the trees right now. We're really sit in the season, the frustration that it created. This is going to have an effect. Right? This is going to have an impact on people. This is not a feeling that any of us want to experience again.
Anyone else? All right, great. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you. Liam Petrick's in the dugout at 5:15.